Welcome to Big Broadway Energy, the podcast. With your host, Stephen Reardon, that's me. Thank you for being here, podcast listener. That's you. Happy that you are here. Happy we are together. Happy to be meeting a new friend today. Now, if you're a regular listener, you are well aware of my love and devotion for the theater right across the park from where we record our little podcast of theatrical wonder. I am, of course, speaking about the one and only American stage. And I've been asked why I have such an affinity for American stage, and duh, that's so easy. I love live theater and the people who created it. American stage has been around for over 45 years, giving this community the thrill of live theater. One of the touchstones of American stage is bringing us plays to St. Pete that entertain us but also challenge us and open our eyes to new life experiences, give us a different way of experiencing a familiar story. And this season truly showed us those values in so many different ways, from so many different POVs and moments in time. The final production of the main stage season this year is a play that took the world by storm when it opened at the Public Theater in 2023. It is the recipient of the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. It was nominated for 5 Tony Awards, including Best Play. The play is called Fat Ham, and it opens at American Stage on Friday, May 30th. And today, we have one of the guests of this production, the multi-talented Janelle Richardson. Janelle, welcome to Big Broadway Energy.
Hello. That is I. That is me. Thank you.
Applause. The crowd goes wild. It's so great to have you on the show. And I have to say, as someone who was lucky enough to see the show on Broadway, I'm so thankful American Stage is bringing this to a St. Pete audience.
Yes.
I mean, talk to us a little bit. I know it's a tall order, but talk to us a little bit about the premise of Fat Ham.
Oh, man. Fat Ham. It's all over the place. But it's a good all over the place. You know, I'm Tedra. I'm the mother of Juicy, who's one of the main characters. And he's just honestly just trying to find himself throughout the entire play. And the beautiful thing about that, he tries to find love in other spaces. He's trying to feel welcome in other spaces. And then here's me, the mom. She's trying to find love here, there with this person. I'm not going to try to tell the story or whatnot. But it's just, it's complex. It's a very complex play. But at the end of the day, it's so beautiful. It's a very, very beautiful story about a mother and a son and, you know, growing their relationship, but at a tug of war with the different things and the challenges that goes on throughout the entire play. You just have to come and see it. I'm not going to tell the whole thing.
I mean, that's enough. I would go see it. Totally. just that synopsis. And a lot of people don't know that Fat Ham is really a retelling of Hamlet. By William Shakespeare, right? We all know it. We all know it well. Yes. But what makes it so special for me and for so many, I think, that saw Fat Ham on Broadway, mm-hmm. is that it reimagines that classic work of Shakespeare, and it does it with comedy and pathos and reality of how people live today. Yes. And I love when that happens to a classic story and how it gives an old story new life.
Yes, yes. I love that, you know, to see how James, the person who created the play, how he meshed both worlds together, you know, and made it funny and relatable in today's modern times. It's a beautiful story.
It really, really is. Yes. It's about family. It's about betrayal. Yet, it's about...
Oh my gosh. Tons of betrayal.
Can't do Hamlet without betrayal.
Listen. Crazy. Just know your eyes are going to be like, oh my God.
No, that's the thing. When I saw it, I didn't see it at the Public, but I knew about... I mean, it was one of those shows. Yeah. I was living up there. Sometimes shows just get that buzz and you're like, I want to get a ticket, and you couldn't get tickets to Public. And then when it transferred with the entire cast intact to Broadway, which is like always the dream of any off-Broadway experience, to bring the whole show to Broadway and to a new audience, I got to see it. I went in knowing sort of the premise of it, but then was just like smacked by the talent and how they created a story around this classic thing that we all know about. And I've been in Hamlet, which was scary as hell. I did classic theater when I was in college, but didn't do it for a long time. So I got to do Hamlet. It is one of those stories that is kind of an origin story for all drama. Okay. It's got all the things that a good drama has.
Yes, yes.
James I. James, is that correct? Mm-hmm. James wrote the play. He's an incredible writer and educator, and he won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama in 2022. Mm-hmm. He did a masterful job at creating new characters based on the classic characters of Hamlet. Yeah. You mentioned Juicy, who basically is themed after Hamlet the Prince, right? Yeah. And then... I want to talk a little bit about Tedra, who is Juicy's mother in the play.
Gertrude.
Gertrude. But you know what? It feels like you were having more fun than any Gertrude in history.
Yes.
Or Tedra does anyway.
She's out there.
Talk to us about Tedra.
Oh, man. So I'm just going to be completely honest and transparent. It was very, very challenging.
Yeah.
When I usually do roles, I do motherly, nurturing roles. But with Tedra, she wild. She's very wild. But it's like... she's trying to find herself through it all. You know, she's, like I said, she's at tug of war, a relationship with the person that she wants to be with, a relationship with her son. And for me, it's like, it's a lot of back and forth. Mm-hmm. I said sometimes it feels like I'm bipolar at times, because it's just like, oh, she's up. Oh, she's down. Oh, just trying to embrace that. And I love working with Raymond, who is our director. He's helping me to be the character, but also be human. He would always say, be human throughout it all. And just through that process of becoming Tedra, the mother, but also the lover at the same time, like I said, it has been very, very challenging, but rewarding at the same time, because I never knew I could play a role like this, you know, because when I do theater or when I do musical theater and things, I'm always placed in a certain category. But this one is pulling another side of me that I never really got to embrace when it came to theater. So I love it. I definitely love it, and it's just been a blessing. It truly has.
Isn't that sort of what all actors want, though, to find those roles that are going to challenge us? I mean, I'm so lucky to have been in lots of shows here in St. Pete. But in the beginning, I just wanted to be on stage, so I just kind of take anything I got. And I was like, you know, I'll figure it out. I love acting. But then as I got older, I just really am more drawn to roles that are going to challenge me away from the things I know I'm good at.
So funny thing, when I went into the audition, I was like, oh, I'm just going to do the audition. I wasn't thinking, I don't know if I'm going to get it, but I did it. And then I got that call up.
Okay!
So, you know, and sometimes I think, you know, especially like as creatives, we're like, man, you chose me. Am I valuable? But just to see that I was the one that was chosen, that means they saw something in me that's going to be beneficial or an asset to the actual play. So that's why I try my best to give it my all and to really hone into the character. Also keep the human side, which is me, because I'm naturally a goofball, and Tedra, she a goofball.
She is
out there. She's very sensual. I can be sensual too, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, I put a little Janelle in there as well. So it's been a journey, a quick journey.
That's when did you guys start?
We start May 28th.
No, when did you start rehearsal?
Oh, it was like, what, 3 weeks? Oh. It was so fast. I was like, oh my God. And then, you know, sometimes I get anxious and I'm just like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going to make the flight. Okay, all right, you know, don't panic, please.
Actor's nightmare.
Oh my God. I'm up at night. I'm like, I got to get these lines. Oh my God, I feel good. Okay. Don't be so hard on yourself, you know. You got this. So it's been a journey, but I love it.
Well, I think, too, it's one of those shows that is truly an ensemble piece.
Yeah.
Again, similar to Hamlet. It's, you know, so if you don't have the back of your actors or trust your other actors on stage, it does get scary. Let's talk about the ensemble. Like, who are we going to see in this amazing production?
Oh my gosh. So first off, the ensemble is amazing. We have Jefferson Russell. He plays Ram. And we have, of course, Juicy, played by Diamani. We have Larry, played by Michael. Super awesome. We have Jay Shanae. She plays Opal. We have Andresia. She plays Rabbi. We have, oh my gosh, we have Tio, who's played by Julian. The cast is just, it's
fierce.
The beautiful thing about it is that we do help each other out. You know, there were moments where I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. What am I going to do? But they were so comforting, and it reciprocates. It created a safe space
100%.
For us to just be, but also challenge us to know, okay, cool, we got this help, we have the support, let's do what we need to do to help each other out so we can create an amazing, amazing show and performance.
For sure. Yes. It's true. Like, when you do a hard show and you have an ensemble of actors that get it, and I know it's hard too, but don't shy away from it and work as hard as you're working, you can rely on just the patter of the other actors on stage. And I think Fat Ham is such an interesting approach to Hamlet too, because it's all based in a backyard.
Yeah.
Backyard barbecue with a family who's been doing this probably for lots of years and years, right?
Yes.
So I think when it comes to ensemble work like that too, it's not always the script. Sometimes it's just like the world that's happening on stage.
Yes, and the chemistry as well. Definitely feeling safe around them, and even in the little smirks and the little gestures and stuff, it plays a huge role.
Yeah,
So you're right. You are so right.
Well, listen, Janelle, we've all been there, and we've all been also in shows where the ensemble's not working as hard as we are, and we're come on, people, pick it up.
Oh, my. Oh, PTSD. All right,
I know, for real. So I want to talk a little bit about the direction, too, because I had this question when I watched it in New York. How much of, like, the source material or just the story of Hamlet did your director bring in? Like, was there a real kind of comparison between that family and the family that you're portraying on stage? Or was it a lot like they kind of kept it separate?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think Raymond, shout out to Raymond. He's so amazing. He's so good.
I love that.
I think it was a little bit of both. He wanted us to bring the Hamlet characters in, but not lose self. You know what I mean? He had moments where he was like, okay, put this here. Use your character here, but let's implement something what Hamlet did. So he tried to combine both. So we won't lose ourselves in the play. So it won't be like, oh, I got to do my lines. Make it natural. And like one of the things that really stuck with me was like, be human, Janelle. Be human. You are an actor on stage, but be human. How would you respond to that answer? Or how would you react to that scene and stuff? And so when he mentioned that, I was like, okay, I can be myself.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can embrace Gertrude, or I can embrace the different characters in Hamlet and everything. It's so amazing at how Raymond just combine both worlds together, but we also made it our own.
That's a sign of a good director, you know. Yes. That when a play is based on source material, you don't want to lose the heart of that, but yes, then you also want to bring your own thing. Yes. Right, absolutely. And
it made it so much easier.
Totally.
For, like I said, I have a nurturing motherly nature by heart, and so when I thought of that with my son, there was a certain scene where I'm not going to tell the story, but a certain scene where we had an emotional moment. Mm. And then that's when my motherly instincts just came in, and like it just became that chemistry, that moment where it was just like, you're his mom. Mm. You're his mother, Janelle. Mm-hmm. Be in that moment.
Oh, I love that. That's so great. And I love family dramas for that reason, because you can rely on what you're like with your family. Yes. In so many ways, and bring that part of yourself to family ensemble, right?
Thank you so much for mentioning that. I say that because I can relate to Juicy when it comes down to, you know, betrayal, I should say. Personal story, you know, my parents, they got divorced when I was 9. Mm. And it's just like, it's still a parting, because in the story, father passes away, right? Juicy and how he was feeling in that moment of trying to find that love. It was the same thing for me in my story when my parents had separated, and trying to find love from my father, and then trying to find love from my mom, and trying to pull on each of them, trying to get love from both ends and finding self through it all. So I can relate. I can definitely relate to the story.
For sure. And music is also a huge part of this show. Yes. Actually, if you are on American Stage's Facebook page, they just dropped a Fat Ham playlist, I think, this morning. So you should check it out, because you'll sort of get the vibe of what you're going to experience at Fat Ham. Speaking of music, let's talk a little bit about you. You are such an amazing talent. Your voice has been heard all over Tampa Bay. Aww. At the start of many a sporting event.
Yes.
You have been featured at festivals in Florida and abroad. You have graced such legendary stages as the Apollo in New York City. Yes. And the Grammy Awards. How long have you been singing?
So funny thing, my mom, she would always say, she's like, you started singing when you were 4 years old. You were in the middle of this wedding and you just grabbed the mic or something that looked like a mic and you were just singing. I was like, okay, mom. But when I remember, I started singing when I was like 6 or 7 years old. My parents, my mom, she's from Trinidad, and she was singing the choir. She sung opera. And in Trinidad, my father, he was in the church choir as well in Tampa. Baptist singer, old school, southern feel. Mm. So I had a mesh of both.
Yeah.
And I just grew up being around singers and just talent. My grandfather playing the trumpet and singing as well. And I went to Blake High School for the performing arts, which
of course.
And I was vocally trained in opera and jazz. But what really hit it was when I was 16 years old, I had the opportunity to sing the national anthem for the Tampa Bay Rays. And I saw all those people. I was like, oh, this is what it's like. Okay. So I started singing professionally around like that age.
There's no better high, right? There's no better high.
Oh my gosh. I still have the pictures. And just to be doing it like full time, it's been so amazing. It's been a journey. It's been a journey, but I love it. I love music.
And if you find something you love at a young age, and even though it's a scary path, yes, and it's the thing you have to do, then that's what you do.
Yeah, that is it. It has been very scary. Very scary. Because at first it's just like, are people going to accept me as an artist? You know, are people going to love my music? I've always had those thoughts in my mind. But
sure.
The older I got, I was just like, you know what? This is what I'm called to do. This is what I love. This is what I want to do. And yeah, here I am.
And it's not our job to have them like it, right? Yeah. It's not our job to have them like it. It's our job to create it.
Yeah.
And the right people are going to find it.
Oh, man. And thank you for saying that. I'm just now realizing that, like, the great 35 years of my life. You know?
I didn't realize that till I was 40, so it's fine. You got plenty more years to figure that out.
So I would always worry, like, oh, my gosh, are they going to, you know, accept me here and whatnot? But the older guy, I was like, you know what? They will.
Yeah.
And like you said, the right people will come around.
I love it. One of the most memorable parts you got to play, I assume, because I saw this show, was Shug Avery in The Color Purple. That was, to this day, one of the most amazing experiences I've ever experienced on Broadway. Yes. I was in that audience. I saw Fantasia play Celie, and I was a mess. I mean, it's such a beautiful show. Talk to us about your Color Purple.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. So it was amazing being a part of Color Purple. Thank you, Stageworks, for having me. And Erica Sutherland, she put me at that role of Shug Avery. And of course, it started off with my singing because I'm a singer by heart. Mm-hmm. Following Heather Headley, following the Jennifer Hudsons, following just all of the great Shug Averys out there, and to be a part of that list. And that was another role that was extremely challenging for me, you know, moving and dancing at the same. I do it all the time on stage, but to actually do that and then having to act and to embrace
and really Shug act. Avery. I mean, Shug is really go.
Honestly, funny thing, a little bit of Shug Avery was in a little bit of Tedra.
Oh, yes.
Spiciness.
Oh, for sure.
Just trying to figure out who to love. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, they're pretty similar. But that was just such an amazing opportunity. And I got recognized by Broadway World. They were saying I was one of the best actresses in the supporting actresses in the play. And to be recognized by Broadway World, I was just like, yeah, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. It's so much fun.
Do you know what that means? That means they're liking it.
Mama, they love me.
I want to hear more about Love Your Voice 101. Oh, talk to us about that.
Yes. Oh, that's my baby. Thank you for bringing that up. So Love Your Voice 101, it actually started with vocal coaching. So I'm a professional vocal coach here in the Tampa Bay and surrounding areas. But that company started because I was diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. And I didn't realize how much it affected me and my music. I didn't realize how much it sheltered my voice. And I know a lot of creatives and a lot of singers, they grow through the same exact thing, but they don't have an outlet. Mm-hmm. So me as a vocal coach, I don't just focus on singing. I focus on helping individuals gain the courage to get the vocal confidence that they need. Because I'm a firm believer that you have to get some sort of courage to actually get to the confidence, you know? So I use my entity, I use my organization to help not just singers, rappers, public speakers. I use all of those types of creatives so that they can see the voice within themselves and give them the fundamentals in order for them to outlive that vision of using their voice. So it starts off with vocal coaching and then doing workshops and things of that nature. And I see it just expanding so much. I've been doing vocal coaching for over a decade, right? But I didn't really get into it until I found my purpose within my doing. And I was just like, because at first my vocal coach was like, you know, you should do vocal coaching. And I was just like, huh? You know, I like teaching, but teaching other people how to sing. And then it started from there. And then it just grew into just something so great. It's my baby. That's my love. That's where my passion is. And it allows me to hone into my purpose in life.
It's true. When you are able to educate anybody in this world, I was a theater educator for a few years in high school. It is a feeling that goes above and beyond, you know, any personal achievement. It's like you're giving the gift to someone who needs it, right?
Oh my gosh. And I'm getting so emotional now because I have students. It's just so amazing. Look, God is good. Mm. But I have so many students who are like, Janelle, Miss Janelle, I never knew I could do that with my voice.
Yeah, that's okay. Got to feel. All right.
I have a student, one of my students, she started off with wanting to sing. And she would always freeze up like every time that she was with me. And we just had a heart to, we have plenty heart-to-heart moments. She started to cry. And she was just like, I can't do this, you know? I cannot. I can't. And when we were practicing, you know, working on her vocal, she would stop in the middle of it. She was like, I can't. And then she'd just start crying. Until I told her this, I said, listen, it's okay. I'm not expecting you to be perfect. I want you to progress. And I want you to celebrate these little wins. I'm here with you, and I see value in you. And that's where my purpose starts to come in, allowing individuals to see the best in themselves. And I kid you, she's still with me up to this day. And I kid you not, now she can sing a full song, y'all. And like, she still has her moments and stuff like that. But her coming back to me and just saying, Janelle, if it wasn't for you, I don't think I would be able to even sing a verse in a song. Literally, she told me that.
That's so incredible. Like, you are doing the sister act work that we all saw in that movie years ago. You are sister acting all over the town. I love it, Janelle. Okay, last question for you, and it's a question I ask all of my guests, and I kind of got an answer, but I'd love to give you the opportunity to really answer it. What does art mean to you?
Art is transparency. Art is vulnerability. Because we are displaying our vulnerable selves through the art, whether if it's singing, whether if it's drawing, whether if it's rapping, spoken word, right? That is something that was given to us, and we're expressing that to the world. That's hard. That is so challenging. That means you are putting your trust in other people's hands. And whomever is seeing it, they're seeing a vulnerable part of us. That's what art is to me. That transparent, vulnerable place that we're displaying to the world. And we're just trusting ourselves to see who in the world is going to accept that vulnerability. That's kind of tough, but that's what art means to me.
Oh, I love that. Yes. I love that so much. How lucky are we to have such immeasurable talent here in Tampa Bay? I cannot wait to see Fat Ham at American Stage. Dear listener, please come and meet Juicy and Tedra and the whole fam at Fat Ham, opening May 30th, but we have preview from May 28th till June 22nd. It closes. Please go to AmericanStage.org for all the information on how to get tickets and all that good stuff. Thank you, Janelle, for being here and sharing your talents with us in
Tampa
Bay.
Thank you for having me.
So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
And thank you, dear listener, for joining us on Big Broadway Energy. If you are a listener to BBE, the radio show, we are getting a time slot upgrade. Beginning on June 1st, we'll be moving up a couple of hours on Sundays from 10 p.m. to Sundays at 5 p.m. So please join us a couple of hours earlier for your favorite Broadway hits and juicy Broadway tidbits. If you or someone you know would be a good guest for the show, please email me at bigbroadwayenergy, all one word, at gmail.com. Until next time, friends, be kind, be curious, and keep creating. Bye, everybody.